saw the people when they are in these rooms.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we welcome you this afternoon to Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance, where we serve one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church and feel the presence of the Lord? I said, isn't it good to be in church and feel the presence of the Lord? For the Word of God say, in His presence is the fullness. I don't know where else you can get the fullness of joy. I never read about it anywhere, but in the Word of God, in His presence is the fullness of joy, and in His that's the right hand always is symbolic of a source of power and authority. In His right hand, there are measures evermore. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Amen. Today we just honor. Amen. To be in church. Amen. It's an honor to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, especially in these challenging times that we live in. Amen. Every time I get a chance to come to church, just to show God how much I thank Him for all that He's done for me. Before you stand, amen, on Friday evening, and there's a series that we're going to be doing until the Lord says stop. I was talking to the bishop the other day, to the other campus. You know, sometimes when God gives you something, you don't have to stop because you do it once.
Right.
He says, especially when God is leading you, He says that sometimes you need to let God keep speaking.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to let God keep speaking on Fridays. Yeah. Amen. And on Fridays, as I said on Friday evening, as I was praying and I was preparing the Word of God, you know, I took time to stop and listen. You know, sometimes in prayer we do all the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finish talking, we get up and leave. But I took time after I finished talking to listen to see what God was going to say to me.
Hallelujah.
Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are
ordered by the Lord.
Well, if you don't listen, how can you receive the marching orders?
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So I took a few minutes to listen to hear what He had to say. And as I said on Friday, the thought that He put in my mind was, stop trying to force my hands. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Lord, I didn't prepare that one. I don't know what you mean by stop trying to force my hand. I don't even know what scripture that I can use for forcing His hand. So I did a concordance, look up forcing God's hand. It wasn't in there. Amen. Couldn't find anything about not forcing God's hand. But then, as I sat there in quiet meditation, you know, when you want to know for God, see, the most important thing is not what we say, and it's not what we think. The most important thing is what God says through His anointing.
Yeah.
Because what the anointing does is, it could be 1,000 of us in this room, but because God knows our collective needs, but more so than our collective needs, He knows our individual needs. So with the anointing, we'll use the same word to minister to 1,000 people a different way.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what the anointing does. We will all hear the same word. And we'll say, did you hear He say this? But no, I didn't hear that. Because all of our life experiences are different.
Mm-hmm.
So God's not going to speak my life experience into you.
Right.
And neither is He going to speak your life experience into me.
Mm-hmm.
When He sends His anointing, is going to meet your needs according to His riches in glory.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to be in church.
Yeah.
So He can minister to our needs. So the word that He gave me was, stop trying to force my hands. Amen. As I said on Friday, it's going to be a series we do until God says stop. I was dealing with forcing God's hand, and then even yesterday, as we were on our way to Boston for an anniversary birthday for Pastor Gilbert, you know, I was just thinking and meditating and praying and talking. I was talking in the present, but my mind was in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to God still. Amen. And the one thing that he brought to my attention is, what happens when we force God's hand? It has a resounding or an echo effect. Amen. So, well, what's the greatest example? The fight today between the Jews and the Arabs is all a result of Abraham and Sarai. Sarah, Abram and Sarah under Sarai, they're the same. Says the name for I and age. But Abraham and Sarah forcing God's hand. Amen. Because God had made Sarah and Abraham a promise that in thee shall thy seed be blessed. Yes. But they got impatient. They got tired of waiting on the promise. Mm-hmm. Like many of us. Mm-hmm. We've heard what God has said, but we get impatient. Amen. We don't believe in the patience of Job. We fail to realize the patience of Noah, who preached the same message for how long?
120 years.
120 years. Yeah. Now, that, if we were Noah, after the first year, we said, Lord, you know, this ain't changing. Mm-hmm. Amen. We would have started trying to force God. Well, Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting on God. So after about 10 years, Sarah said, well, Abraham, it seems to be with me after the manner of women. So I'm going to give you Hagar, my maid, to be your wife so you can have seed. And Abraham yielded. And as a result, Ishmael was born. Yeah. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation. But that was not the promised seed. That was not the covenant seed. That was not what God intended, because God intended that in Isaac shall all nations be blessed. So the fight today over in the Middle East is all a result of Sarah and Abraham trying to force God's hand. Well, what I'm saying is, when we try to force God's hand, it has an echoing effect. Amen. It don't just affect the present, but it can go out, it can echo out through all history. Thousands of years there have been a conflict and a fight. Why? Because somebody tried to force God's hand. Amen. They tried to circumvent or tried to go around what God had planned for them in their lives. Our ultimate goal, brothers and sisters, is we want to be in the center of God's will. We want to be in God's perfect will. We want God to be able to speak. Amen. And when you speak, we don't want to fight or resist God. We don't want to reply or strive with God. We want to just surrender. And as I said on Friday, how many of you are going to believe God? Amen. But the issue at hand is, do you trust God? Because the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for
righteousness.
But Abraham didn't trust God. Mm-hmm. Because if Abraham trusted God, that would, you know, in God's divine nature, in God's divine purpose and will, it would have come about. Mm-hmm. But it did not necessarily have to come through Ishmael, because Abraham and Sarah did not trust God, that God was going to give them a seed. So the whole Middle East conflict, all the fighting, all the is as a result of someone trying to force God's hand. And forcing God's hand is circumventing God's will and purpose. Do you know if you're alive and have the breath in your life, in your body, God has a purpose for you?
Yes.
You don't have to choose to believe it. But God is not a waste of time God. Mm-hmm. Amen. God does not do anything randomly. Everything God does in our lives and for our lives is for a purpose. God is not a random God. He just doesn't do things randomly. But everything in our life, God intends it for a purpose. And ultimately, the scripture says, the purpose is this. All things.
Yes.
The purpose is this. Mm-hmm. All things work together for good to them that what?
Love God.
And
called
according to his purpose. If things aren't working out, you might love God, but are you trying to fulfill the purpose or the call of God in your life? Because when you do it God's way, then everything works together for good. But when you try to force God's hand, God has to hold back the blessings until we're ready. With that in mind, let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Genesis chapter 17. And we're also going to go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 17, we're going to read, and we'll read Genesis. Genesis chapter 17 first, then we'll come back to 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 of Genesis chapter 17, and then we'll read verses 15 through 19 of the same chapter. Once again, Genesis 17 verses 1 through 6, and then we will go down and read verses 15 through 19. Amen?
Amen.
If we have it, can we all say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that we're in a place where we can hear from God?
Amen.
Amen. Not to hear what the man has to say, because it's significant. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, how can they hear
without a preacher?
And how can he preach except God sends him? Amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, and when Abraham
was 90 years old.
Excuse me, let me start all over. I will do it right. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, meaning 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and make nation of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Now verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother
of nations.
Kings of people shall be of her.
Then
Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old? Let me read that one more time. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing unto the reading of his word. And can the congregation say the word of God is blessed already?
The word of God is blessed already.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We honor you. We thank you for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, we ask you to examine us on this afternoon. Even now, Lord, we ask you to search us and know our hearts. Father God, this afternoon, try us and know our thoughts. Lord, see if there be any ways that are contrary to you. And Father God, we give you permission to lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, even in our holiness that we might be in sometimes, we ask you to make us to know our end. Lord, in the measure of our days, what it is that we might know how frail that we are. Now, Lord, we ask you to send thy word to find us out. Lord, speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Lord, most of all, we ask you to create a spiritual stir within us. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to make us to be what you have us to be. Lord, even as you took Jeremiah down to the potter's house, Lord, maybe some of us this afternoon have been marred in your hand. Lord, maybe we've been been off track. Lord, maybe we are not the vessel that you intended for us to be. But Lord, we ask you to do as you told Jeremiah. Lord, put us back on a potter's wheel. And Lord, make us all over again so that we may live to your glory. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak on this afternoon for thy servant here. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 18, and for the sake of time, I'm only going to read a couple of verses. We're going to start with verses 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 of Genesis chapter 18. Verse 9 of chapter 18. And they said, these are the angelic appearances that appeared to Abraham when he was 99 years old, which is the same year that he had made earlier. God had made a covenant with Abraham, saying that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken. That's what I like. God does the impossible. God does what nobody else can do. Amen. That's why I can't figure out in this day and age how people can try and make it without an impossible God to work in your impossible situations. How many of us know we got some impossible situations? Then it's time to employ the help of the impossible God. Amen. What makes him impossible? Paul told the Ephesian church he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's the impossible God. That's working in your impossible situation. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above. Look at those adjectives. First, he exceeds what you think. Amen. And then after he, this is only God. Lord, thank you. I said, can't nobody else do you like Jesus.
Right.
First, he exceeds what you think or ask. Then after he exceeds what you think or ask, he does abundantly above that. And then after he does abundantly, then he goes even higher and does above that. I said we need an impossible God to work in an impossible situation.
Hallelujah.
Can we say an impossible God?
Impossible God.
To work in an impossible situation.
To work in an impossible situation.
That's our message this afternoon. An impossible God.
Yes.
To work.
To work.
In an impossible.
In an impossible.
Situation.
Situation.
That's what I like about God. He used to sing a song, have you any rivers?
Right.
I said, have you any rivers?
My.
That you deem uncrossable. Right. Have you any mountains that you cannot?
What?
I say, have you any mountains that you cannot? Amen. Do you have some valleys that you think you cannot cross? Well, in the end, I just conclude that God specializes. Lord, I don't need you to specialize in what I can do. But I need you to specialize in the things that are
impossible.
He's an impossible God that can work in all of our impossible situations. Amen. You may think it can't be done, but God said, you ask it. Then you just rest in me. Amen. After we've done the will of God, we have need of patience. God said, now ask. Now wait. How long do I wait until the appointed or set time come forward?
Yes.
Amen. Somebody say, get back to what you were reading. I'm going to get there. Hallelujah.
Keep going.
But I just like the impossible God.
Yes, sir.
Lord, when I think, Lord, I don't have to think very far. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, an impossible God. Look, you want some victory? Talk to me.
All right.
I said it's an impossible God in the world.
Impossible.
Is your situation impossible? Well, the doctor can't do it. The lawyer can't do it. I'll do my best, and I guarantee you I can't do it. But God can do the impossible. So Sarah and Abraham had an impossible situation. Amen? And Sarah heard this, and Sarah's like, I know me better than I know anybody else. Everybody know you know yourself better than anybody else know you? You know, a lot of people applaud us and build us up, but we know us better than anybody else. Sarah said, I know me. I know what I haven't been able to do. So she did what she within herself. She didn't have to laugh out God. She laughed what? Within herself. Saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? And Abraham and old also? That's an impossible situation. We both, 100 years old and lightning, that just don't happen. Amen? Maybe we can go down to the adoption center and get a child. But God said no.
That's right.
I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which is past the childbearing age? I'm too old. You ever go to a job and they say you're not qualified? Well, that's when you need the impossible God.
Yes.
Why? Because the impossible God will make the impossible possible.
Yes.
That's why they call him a supernatural God.
Yes.
Well, what makes God a supernatural God? You do the natural, and then God does the
supernatural.
You do the natural, and then God does super. And that what make him a supernatural. So it was cease. Could not happen. Amen.
Right.
And he said, well, I understand what you're going through. Isn't it good to know God knows?
Yeah.
Come on, isn't it good to know God knows what you're going through?
Hallelujah.
I realize the situation is really too bad. Maybe it's a little too big for you. God said, I understand that. But I'm the impossible God.
Yes.
He said, is there
anything too hard?
Today, this afternoon, I don't know what you're going through. But is there anything
too hard
for the impossible God?
No.
In your impossible
situation,
you got to believe God. Amen?
Amen.
He said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, that Sarah shall have a son. In verse 15, then Sarah was caught out there. Hey man, you know, all of us are trying to live for God, but sometimes we get caught out there. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Sarah say anything to anybody?
No.
She said it where?
Your heart.
You know, sometimes when we're at home or whatever our situation is, we don't say anything to anybody, but we say it within. But God even hears that.
Yes.
Though you did not say it audibly. Amen. Because the scripture is acquainted with all of our ways. He knows the thought before your tongue speaks it. And he knows the very thoughts of our head. Amen. So Sarah said nothing to anybody. But God. Say, why did you doubt me in your heart? Why didn't you believe what you heard? He said, Sarah, my said, I laughed not, for she was. She didn't say anything. Some of us in our situation, we haven't said anything outwardly, but it's in our heart. But God says, nay, Sarah, you did, because I heard it. Nobody else has to know what you're going through in your impossible situation for God to fix it. Amen. So we read about, I'm going to compare two verses of scripture. You don't have to go through it. I'll read it quickly. In chapter 17, when God talked with Abraham, it says that verse 17 of chapter 17 says, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said it when? Then we come up a little later to Sarah. She laughed and she does it when? So God said, okay, since y'all want to laugh, the name of your child is going to be called Laughter. The name of your son is going to be called Isaac, which means laughter. You know why? Because every time you see the blessing, every time you see Isaac, I wanted to be a reminder of you of how you thought I could not work out an impossible situation. So see, every time you see laughter, I want you to remember the covenant that I set up with you. Amen. Abraham, you laughed in your heart. Sarah, you laughed in your heart. So I'm going to name your child Laughter. That's what's so good about the Hebrews. Their name had a meaning. You know, we didn't have all the ruler, the hola, and all that other stuff like they got today. You know, we try to hear these names, and what does it mean? Right? Well, back in Israel, when they gave a name, it meant something. Amen. You know, like David meant the beloved, and you know, so on and so forth. But you hear names today, you're like, wow, what you think of that? You know, years ago, no, I won't go there, but they had some stuff they used to say years ago. But what I'm saying is this, God gave them a blessing. Then he named the blessing to remind them how they doubted him. So every time they saw Isaac, it was a reminder to them of what God had brought them from. Every time they saw Isaac, it was a reminder of the impossible God working out an impossible situation. This afternoon, we may have some impossible situations. Don't doubt God. Amen. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Because God knows how to take all your sorrows, and he knows how to turn them into joy. God knows how to take all of your heaviness, and he knows how to reverse it. But you got to surrender. We're trying to get help from God, but we refuse to surrender. We're still trying to make God do it our way. You know, I've done it. Because guess what? I'm human, just like you are. You know, God says he's going to do something, and you sit down and on paper, you figure out all the way God's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, stuff be going wrong. Wait a minute, God, that's not what I put down. God, I didn't think you were going to do it like that. God, I thought you were going to do it like this. God said, well, just in case you didn't know it, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Just in case you did not realize it, my ways are not your ways. Just in case you were a little confused and thought because I didn't do it like you put it on paper, I'm still God. Well, what makes you still God? Can you go to Romans chapter 11, verse 33? What makes you still God? I'm an impossible God. And you cannot figure me out. Amen. You know, how many people know how long eternity is? Can anybody explain eternity? I mean, I know we're talking about this forever. Come on, can you explain it like God can explain eternity? You can't explain it, can you? But can you let God work on your little finite things? Finite things mean they have a limit and a time. Like we used to say down south when we grew up in the Baptist church. Can I go Baptist for a few minutes? Can I go Baptist? Because that's how I grew up. For just a few minutes. And talk about how you went down and down. I'm going to go Baptist for a few minutes. I let it go. I go back. I'm sorry. Back in the Baptist church, we used to say, trouble don't last.
Always.
We used to tear it up. Trouble don't last always. Whatever. whatever you're going through, it has a time limit.
Yes.
It has a span. There's a period when God will speak to that and say, it is enough. So your trouble won't last always, but don't get out of God. Because it's not working like you thought it should work. Amen. Don't force God's hand so you can have trouble that's going to echo throughout generations. Amen. When we have expired, the trouble is still with our kids, like they are with the Arabs and the Jews now because of them forcing God's hand. How long is going to last until God separated? They're fighting over the land that God gave to Israel. Amen? Well, what happened? God didn't do it quite like Abraham and Sarah expected. So their thoughts were different from God. So since God is not doing it like I want it, I'm going to circumvent. I'm about to go on this detour. Amen. I'm about to go another direction because God is messing up. That's what it really means. When we don't trust God and we try to make something happen, we say, God, you messed up. Any of y'all ever think like that? You don't say it outwardly, but you say it. God is not fair. I don't know why you're allowing this to happen in my life. I thought for sure by now things would have changed. Let God do it His way. Amen. Don't try to circumvent it. Don't try to redo it. You'll be fighting with that from generation to generation. We create unnecessary hardships and troubles in our lives that God never intended. Why? We try to force God's hand. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but try to come on Fridays. We take a little more time, I think. I hope everybody come back Friday because they said Friday I was a little long. But I hope y'all come back because we're gonna. What I'm trying to get us to do is in 2013 we want to be prepared. The devil is still the devil. I don't care how many revolutions you make without Jesus. I don't care what you plan to do without God because Jesus said, "Without me, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing." If you're going to resolute, if you're going to change, keep God involved. Verse 33 reads, for those of you that think you can figure out God, say, I learned a long time ago, I just leave God's business alone because I cannot figure Him out.
That's right.
Amen. Maybe you have it all down on paper, your diary, you're keeping all this, throw it out because God is not an ordinary God. If God was an ordinary God, then Isaac would never have been born as the laughter to Abraham or Sarah.
Right.
Because that was not normal. God is an impossible God. If God was not the God of the impossible, I heard somebody say Mary had a child and did not know a man. I say it again.
Right.
Because God does not work like we think. And that's why the Jews were messed up. They could not figure it out. How does a woman have a child without a man? Amen? Because it's an impossible God working in a what?
Impossible situation.
If your situation is impossible, you should be up jumping and shouting and praising God. Because that means He has to work it out. If it's impossible, can't nobody else do it but God. Miss against when they say your heart was working at 15% and it never come back. So sounds like to me you had a what kind of situation? Doctor told us maybe in 10 years. In 10 years, you might have a little increase. He said, but you might as well go ahead and sign up for disability. Amen. Go down and kick your feet back, because son, if you move too much, you'll have a heart attack. So he had an impossible situation. God, but an impossible God worked on an impossible. I said an impossible God worked on an impossible. And then the doctor said, what happened? our God. Just our God. Thus said the Lord unto thee, I am the Lord. I will open a door before you that no man can close. I will close a door before you that no man can open. Only trust you in the Lord, and I, the Lord, shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Jesus. Lord, right now. Lord, change it right now. Lord, move right now. Lord, and when you prayed and your anointing was there, Lord, your word said their situation turned around immediately. Oh God, Lord, we believe. God, but if there's anybody here this afternoon, we ask you to help thou our unbelief. Now, Lord, we trust and believe that you've heard our petition. Lord, we trust and believe that our prayers have gone up as a memorial before thee. For, Lord, my word declares that they that feared the Lord, when they speak off the once to another, Lord God, and a book was written and you remembered. Now, Lord, remember this prayer. Lord, we stand on your prophecy. Lord, we stand on your word. Now, Lord, we believe you're going to do the impossible. Now, Lord, we just expect a miracle. Lord, we're expecting you to do what nobody else can do. Now, Lord, your word declares that you cannot deny yourself. Lord, even before we go back to our seats, we're expecting a miracle. We're expecting a miracle. We're expecting a miracle. Now, can we all in one accord say, in Jesus' name? Now, I want you to say, in Jesus' name, like you already got your answer, like you already got your victory. Amen. Shout it like he gave it to you already. Can we say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we're going to stand on your word and your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? I said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And you may go away to see that medicine gift does our altar call. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That situation, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God for what he's doing, hallelujah.